Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Revelation, chapter number one again, the book of Revelation, chapter number one. I'm going to be very honest with you. This is very difficult for me to do, the book of Revelation. It's not my strength. And I'm saying this for a reason. There's going to be some things I'm going to mess up on. There might be some things that I might say incorrectly, and I'm not doing it purposely. It's just, it's not my strength. Every preacher has a strength. And but sometimes you, in order to get strong in things, what do you got to do? You got to study. You got to practice it. You got to do it. And so that's where we're at, and we're going to be doing this together. So it is very exciting. As you go through this, I said last week a couple words, and it was this: don't be scared of the book of Revelation. Why? Because it says, "Blessed is he who reads it." Then it says, "Blessed is he who hears it." So take the time not only just to read it, take the time to listen to it when it's being taught about. It's very beneficial for our life. I'm also glad as I go through the book of Revelation, I'm more thrilled how, I should say, I'm really thrilled that I am pre-trib, amen? These are things that I don't have to go through, and I'm thankful for that. So, with that being said, let's go ahead and begin reading again. Verse number 1, we're going to read down through verse number 20. We're going to try to cover the remainder of this chapter tonight. Last week, really, I just gave you an introduction of the things to come. So, the book of Revelation 1, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which gave God unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Verse number 4 down through verse number 20 are going to be the verses that we're going to try to really focus in tonight. If we get through it, great. If we don't, we always have other time to get through this. "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." You remember the song I just mentioned on that bright and cloudless morning, "When the dead in Christ shall rise"? You see how inaccurate that song is according to Scripture? Because what's God going to come back in? He's going to come back in clouds. But I understand what the writer was doing there. Those are just some little things that I pick up on. "So, behold, he cometh with clouds." By the way, when you wake up and you see clouds in the sky, be thankful. Why? Could be the day. Now, let me ask you a question. Does it have to be cloudy here? No. Where's the focus at? Heaven. But all eyes are upon the east. It's just something to think about. I'm just throwing that out there. "And every eye shall see him." Think about that verse. Every eye shall see him. John's not done with that statement, because he goes on with this: "And they also which pierced him." The very men that were at Calvary that day that speared him in the side will lay hold again on the physical being of Jesus. Every eye shall see him. There isn't a person upon this earth that will not see him. "And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." This is the second time in this chapter that you just heard of those three phrases right there: which is, which was, and which is to come. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop and I'm going to talk to Kevin real quick. Kevin sent me a message this week. He had a question on the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse number 10. The verse I just read, Kevin's the answer I was trying to give you with patience. That's where I was trying to come from with that. I love questions that make me think. I'm glad he didn't do it here because, man, put me on the spot, it'd be something else. So, verse number 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Think about this. That's projecting now. Verse number 11 says, saying, and if you have the same style of Bible I have, it's written in red, right? What does red signify in the Bible? That this is Jesus' words. This is Jesus speaking. And John's beginning to describe his voice as of what? Trumpet. When I think of the word trumpet, I'm thinking of an instrument with authority. That's what I think of when I think of a trumpet. So I believe Jesus here, as he begins to speak, he's speaking with authority. And dads, when you think about that, dads will speak with authority when they're trying to get their kids to pay attention. I've heard that many, many occasions growing up. Jeff, get over here. Well, Jeff wouldn't respond. And then dad would have to get a deeper and louder voice. Jeffrey Scott, that was the voice of a trumpet that's saying, hey, I'm the authority here. You better pay attention to me. By the way, we knew Jeff's middle name by heart growing up. I have still yet to figure out my middle name. Just kidding. Thanks, Andrea Renee. Appreciate it. So verse number 11, it's good to laugh in church, is it not? So verse number 11, as Jesus begins to speak here, saying, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Jesus here is identifying who he is and that he's always been. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. We're going to read about these churches here in the next few weeks, but the church of Laodicea is known as what church? Lukewarm church. Many people believe that that church is referring to us, this day and age. I'm hoping that I can get into that as we go through that. Some guys have some different thought processes on that. But that's what many people believe, that that's speaking to us. So as we go down to verse number 12, it says, and I turn to see, John's going back now. John's got the podium here. It says, and I turn to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now, the golden candlesticks that's in reference here, all that is in reference to at this point in time is lampstands, basically. Okay? I will get into that maybe not this week, but hopefully next week. Verse number 10, it says, his head and his hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned into a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now, did John die at that point in time? No, not at all. It says in verse number 17, it says, and he laid his right hand upon upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Boy, that really gives you a vivid description of who Jesus is. So we go on in verse number 18. Jesus, again, he's going to finish out this chapter with John here. And he goes on, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Don't you like that statement? Why am I taking time as I go through this? Because we must understand that we do not serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Savior. Have we yet to see his appearance? No. Will we see his appearance? Yes, we'll see his appearance. When will we see his appearance? I don't know. That's up to him. But we will see his coming someday. But I'm thankful today that Jesus only stayed in that grave for 3 days and three nights. Go back to Calvary before I go on with this. Go back to Calvary. It talked about earlier on that the ones that even pierced him were going to see him face to face. So we know the torture that Jesus went through that day for us. But did they kill him? No, they did not, because in Scripture it says he gave up the ghost. No matter what they did to him, no matter what they threw his way, it was he who laid his life down for you and for me. So he spent 3 days and three nights in the grave. He was dead. He came back to life to fulfill his promise to us. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. Goes on and he says, verse number 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. I love this next statement by Jesus. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Now, I said something last week that I want to try to keep saying as we're going out throughout this book of Revelation. What is the central theme of Revelation? Jesus. Sure, we see the judgment that's come to take place. We see those things. And so often, our eyes are on that focus, and we get scared of those things. But the central theme is Jesus. And if we're to put our focus on those judgments that are to come, we're going to miss Jesus. He is the central theme, which is why I believe he's taken some time here in the first chapter here. And he says, I am alive forevermore. So if we were to focus on those judgments and didn't see this, then we're missing Jesus, are we not? That's why I'm trying to bring this out just a little bit. It says, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I like this too. And have the keys of hell and of death. Man, that's something. I'm not going to dwell on that today, but hopefully down the road I might. Verse number 19, it says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. He's given instruction to John right here in this chapter. Hey, John, this is what I want you to write. Here's what you to do. Verse number 20 says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlestick. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Let's have a word of prayer now that we've got this reading taken care of here. Let's try to dive into this just a little bit more. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to be back here tonight. I thank you for your people who came out this afternoon to listen to your word. Lord, I can only put so much time into the studying. Lord, I pray that the time that you've allowed me to do would be beneficial to your people. Lord, I know it's a very difficult book to go through. I know it's scary sometimes. But God, this is your word, and you want us to see it. And so I pray that you would continue to show me the things that I need to see to be a help to your people. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. So we see here in verse number 4, I have about 19 points that I'm going to try and get through this evening, and none of them are very long, so try not to get scared of those things. The original recipients of this letter were to the seven churches of Asia. The seven churches of Asia are known as the modern-day Turkey now. Trying to give us a little bit of a geographical place where it all takes place, okay? So it's known as modern Turkey. By the way, a lot of people believe that the Antichrist will come out of the realm of Turkey. I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I told you that this is one of my weakest things, but some have their beliefs. I've been around a few preachers that will go back and forth with this, but the fact of the matter is, I'll say it again, I said it last week, I believe the Antichrist exists today. Where he's at, I don't know. That's up to God. John gives a greeting that's different compared to many other writings, and that is this. He gives a greeting of grace. The greeting of grace didn't come from John. The greeting of grace came from who? Came from the Lord. It's kind of ironic when you begin to think about this, because what day do we live in? We live in a day of grace. And that is so true. You and I are beneficiaries of the age of grace. By the way, I'm going to say something, because I heard it again this week, and I've said this before quite a few times. The Old Testament was all written for the Jews, for us to read. You and I are not Jews. We don't go by their practice. We don't go by their traditions. You and I, we're not out there sacrificing our children. We're not out there sacrificing our animals, are we not? We live in the age of grace. And I thank God that I don't have to go by any of those rituals. I'm thankful for his grace that he's given to us. John addresses these churches that God has always been in existence, which is why he says, which is, verse number 8, and which was, and which is to come. It's hard for people to understand that God has always been. When I was a young person, I had a hard time understanding these things. How could somebody always be? Are we not born into this world, and do we not die and leave this world? That is true. But God has always been in existence. I'm dwelling on this just for a few seconds, because we know there are many different religions out there that believe in different gods. By the way, when I say different gods, I'm talking about small g. I'm not talking about a capital G, because there's only one God. These small gods have been and have gone, or they're just a statue. God has always been in existence. By the way, with God being in existence, he did what? He spoke us into his existence. That's pretty amazing to begin to think about that. So this is important to focus on, because he is the one true God who has always been. There's never been another God before him. By the way, who's God's rival? No, wrong. No, there is no rival to God. God's the only true God. Amen? I used to think that for a long time, but God has no rivals. Remember this. The angels are created beings. Are they not? Okay. I hope you're understanding this as we go along here. So in this phrase alone, he recognizes God the Father, he recognizes God the Son, and he recognizes God the Holy Spirit. The three attributes, the Trinity, they're three in one. Who is, who was, and is to come. Who is? God, right? Who was? Jesus. Who is to come? Who's to come? The Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said he will send the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. So he addresses that in those phrases there. Verse number 7 also mentions the seven spirits. This refers to the completion and perfection of the Holy Spirit. And I hope I can explain this as we go along. There are seven different aspects of the Holy Spirit. Let me explain as I go along. Here they are, the seven different ones. I'm going to give you two at a time. So the first two are this: the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding. In case you're writing it down, I'll say it again. The seven different aspects of the Holy Spirit, first two is the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding. I'm thankful today that God gave us the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. Amen? By the way, God's not concerned with us having worldly wisdom. What kind of wisdom does God want us to have? His word, spiritual wisdom. And then with his wisdom, he gives us the spirit of understanding. Not all of us have the great ability to read something and to understand it right away. I'm one of those people. Matter of fact, I operate better on visual things. Anybody else like that? Which is why I really understand Dora today. Dora the Explorer. Okay. Just seeing if you folks are awake. The other two is the spirit of counsel. Where do we get our counsel from? The Word of God. Amen. The Word of God will give us counsel. And then he has the spirit of might. The other two are, it follows with this, it's the spirit of fear. I'm trying not to go too fast for you folks. I'm wanting you to write this down here. The spirit of fear. And I'm going to reiterate what Matt said the last couple weeks in class. And that is this, the spirit of knowledge. What's the difference between learning and having knowledge? Well, if knowledge is applying what you've learned. Okay, the Holy Spirit will help you have the knowledge to apply those things. And the final spirit, which should have been first, but I put it last, and that is this, the spirit of the Lord. These are the seven different aspects of the Holy Spirit. Got a lot of jobs, does he not? Got a lot of different abilities. By the way, every job that you and I do, you might think that we're hired just to do one thing, but our bosses always have something else in mind, do they not? They have a general idea of what they're going to have us do, and they say, you know what? You're not hired for this one thing. You're going to have many different responsibilities that you're going to have to fulfill throughout the day. And we're all like that. So the Holy Spirit has seven different aspects. He works in different ways here. We see in verse number 5, we see this. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Jesus is a faithful witness, but who's he a faithful witness to? There's two that I'm going to point out in this. The first one is Jesus is faithful to his Father. He's faithful to his Father. I hope this morning as we went through Joseph, I hope that you like the fact that Joseph was not a part of Jesus' adult life. He wasn't a part of those ministries. Why? Because if Joseph would have been a part of that ministry, then the focus would have been taken off the Heavenly Father. And so, Joseph, was he faithful to his earthly father? Yes, he was, till a certain age when God, for some reason, decided not to put him in there. And it's for this reason, because Jesus was faithful to his heavenly Father. So, with that being said, he has set the stage for you and I. Well, what's that stage? Well, if he's going to be faithful to his Father, then we as his children are to be what? Faithful to his Father as well. So he's given us he's a great role model for us in that area. Okay, so what were the things that Jesus was faithful to his Father in? I can recall in my mind right now that the verse is not right there, but I can recall these words. I'm here not to do my will, but my, say it with me, Father's will. Okay? He was faithful to doing his Father's will. So again, that's another great example for us to follow in our life. So he's faithful to his Father. Okay? Who's the other person that Jesus was faithful to? This is kind of a trick question, but it's very easy. I don't think of very hard ones. Who said us? Yes, Jesus was faithful to his people even unto death. You think about that for a little bit. You and I can't even be faithful to one another for a week. But Jesus was faithful unto his people unto death. Well, what was he faithful in? Kevin said it very good this morning as we're talking about Paul. Paul knew of what was going to come his way. Paul knew that if he went to a certain country, that he was going to be sought out, and that they were going to try and kill him, and that they're going to try to put him in prison. But what did Paul do? Okay, I'm still going to go. Okay? Jesus knew more than what Paul knew, right, Kevin? He knew of what was to come. He knew exactly what hour, what minute, what second, what day. He knew of those things. But Jesus was faithful to us to continue to go the path to march to Calvary. He was faithful unto death to us. By the way, he's still faithful to us, is he not? Amen. He's still faithful to us. Well, how do I know that? Because his word says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Those are great words of comfort for a believer, especially when we're going through our difficult times in life. So those are where he's been a faithful witness. Okay, verse number 5 again says, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Before I go on, Jesus is totally reliable and one who can always be depended upon. In Romans 5, verse 8, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. So in Romans 5, verse 8, go ahead and turn there. I want to bring this out because this is important for us to see. I will get back to the other. Don't worry. But in Romans 5, verse number 8, it says this. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us so very much that he died for us. So I don't want you just to hear these words tonight. I want you to read them aloud with me. We'll read verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did Christ have to die for us? No. He did not have to die for us. He chose to die for us. I'm so thankful for that. He was faithful going to the cross for you and I while we were yet sinners. Gary, there's something that I can't get out of my mind. I cannot understand that God went to the cross, even God had his son go to the cross even before I was in existence. He already knew of my sins that I was going to commit in life. He knew me way before. And not only did he just know me, Tom, he knew you. Grace, he knew you. Boy, does he know you. And I know more about you because of your parents. And I'm thankful Jesus went to the cross for us. He loved us while we are yet sinners. And I like this. I'm going to point this out. His own blood washes us of our sins. His blood-stained body. Think about this. Vision this. I'm a visionary person. So when I begin to read stuff, I begin to see things probably that most people don't. So I begin to see a blood-stained Savior. Has those crowns were on his head, and as the spear went to his side, those nails on his hands, his body just trickling all over his blood, becoming very stained, but his blood-stained body washed away my sins when I asked forgiveness for that. He is a faithful God. His love, think about this, go back and turn to your Bibles, the book of Revelation again. Now that I'm back on track. For some reason, I ended up in 2 Corinthians. But we see here, in this verse here, it says, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse number 6, and it says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God. And his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. His love was so great that he washed our sins away, but his love doesn't stop there, because his love had did what? It made us kings and priests before his Father. It's what the Word says right here. I'm not misinterpreting that. That's what the Word says. And his love will bring him back for us. See, we read this last week, but we went over all this. Today, I'm thankful that we serve a Jesus who loves us. And because he loves us, he's going to come back for us. Folks, this is why I know that I'm part of the pre-trib. Because I'm a child of God, and he's going to spare me from that. If you want to believe your post-trib, that's your business. If you want to believe your mid-trib, that's your business. But I'm a child of God, and I know his love for me is so great that he's going to spare us from those things. So his love will bring him back for us. And then there will not be an eye who will not see him. John, while in Patmos, was given this message, was given this vision. And you see later on in this chapter here, Jesus telling him to write this down. And we're going to end there this evening, and hopefully next week we will pick this up once again and maybe finish this chapter out. I won't finish it next week. I won't be here next week, but the following week we'll go through this. So I hope it's been a blessing to you so far. But as I said, there's so much here in just first chapter that just sets the scene for the things to come.